Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Volker Metz, and I'm CFO of Pro-Group. I would also like to welcome you to our conference call on the second quarter results. Jürgen Heindl, our CEO, will not be able to participate in this call, so we would like to apologize for that. Yesterday, we published the interim report for the second quarter of 2021. Our agenda for this call starts with the highlight of the second quarter of 2021 and a market overview. In the second part, I will present the financial performance. The third part includes the summary and outlook on Pro-Group's operations. On page 5, you can see the highlights of the second quarter of 2021. The trend of very high order intakes continued in the second quarter. In our corrugated board business, we achieved a growth rate of more than 29%. The growth rate in our containerboard business was even higher at 56.5%. Both growth rates are supported by the weaker demand in the previous year's second quarter due to the corona pandemic. The growth rate in our containerboard business is based on the increased production capacity from the new PM3. In both businesses, we could have sold even more, but our sales volumes were limited by the production capacity. This strong volume growth and higher price levels lifted sales to 322 million euro, which is 63.7% above the prior year's second quarter sales. This is also the first time that our quarterly sales exceeded 300 million euro. Our EBITDA increased by 43.4% to 63.9 million euro in the second quarter, after 44.6 million euro in the second quarter of 2020. Compared to the first quarter of 2021, EBITDA was 18.4 million euro higher, an increase of 40.4%. The year-on-year increase was largely a result of an improved gross margin and higher sales volumes. The further sales price increases in the second quarter more than compensated the higher recovered paper prices. Due to the time lag in passing on the higher raw material cost to our customers, we expect that further margin improvements will be seen in the third quarter. The higher EBITDA on the one hand and the higher sales on the other led to an EBITDA margin of 19.9% in the second quarter. This is 4 percentage points above the margin of the first quarter. The net financial debt at the end of the second quarter of 2021 decreased to 822.5 million euro after 829 million euro at the end of the first quarter, but was slightly above the level of the year-end 2020. As a consequence of the higher last 12 months EBITDA and the slightly lower net debt, the net leverage decreased to 4.4 after 5 at the end of the first quarter of 2021. The strong order intake of corrugated board and container board in the fourth quarter of 2020 and the first quarter of 2021 continued in the second quarter. The structural shift in the consumer behavior towards a significantly higher share of online purchases supported the demand for corrugated boxes. This channel trend was accelerated by the corona pandemic, and we expect that the higher share of e-commerce will be maintained in the future. Additionally, the demand was supported by the general economic recovery, which gained momentum in the second quarter. The continuing strong demand for containerboard led to further price increases for containerboard in the second quarter. In total, our containerboard prices increased by 28%. The price increase for corrugated board follows this development. In sum, the average corrugated board prices of the second quarter were 15% higher than the average price in the first quarter. Prices for recovered paper continued the upward trend until the middle of the second quarter and reached new record highs then. In the second half of the quarter, prices stabilized on this level and came to a sideward movement with some smaller price adjustments. Due to the ramp-up effect, the average recovered paper price of the second quarter were 36% above the average price of the first quarter. We continue with the report on Pro-Group's financial performance. In the second quarter, our containerboard sales volume increased significantly by 56.5% to 399,000 tons, compared to the second quarter of 2020. This development was driven by both an increase in internal and external containerboard sales. As in the previous quarter, the increasing share of external containerboard sales are related to the startup of the PM3 paper machine. The higher share of external containerboard sales led to an integration level of 75% without the swap volume, or 87% including the swap volume. These figures are only slightly lower compared to the previous year and exceeded already our expectations. The reason for the relatively high integration level is the strong volume development of our corrugated board business that drives the internal demand for container board. In the first half of 2021, the sales volume grew by more than 50% to 803,000 tons after 533,000 tons in the first half of last year. The external sales volume more than doubled to 205,000 tons, but also the internal sales volume increased by 165,000 tons. On page 9, you can see the corrugated board volume development. The sales volume of corrugated board in the second quarter of 2021 was 85,000 tons higher compared to the second quarter of 2020. This represents an increase of 29%. The reason for the very strong increase are the robust demand, the consistent outperformance of our business model, but also the lower sales volume in the second quarter of 2020 due to the corona pandemic. The basis of this growth are the additional capacities from our growth projects of the past 2 years, especially the latest German plant PW13, and the continuing improvement of our productivity at the existing plant. In the first half of 2021, corrugated board sales volume increased by 18.5% to 766,000 tons. The volume growth was limited by the available production capacity. The demand was exceptionally strong throughout the first half of the year, continued to be strong at the beginning of the third quarter. On the next page, we have the quarterly sales development. The quarterly sales have shown strong growth rates over the past four quarters. The basis of this development are the positive volume effects in both businesses and the elevated price levels we achieved, especially in the last two quarters. In the second quarter, we achieved for the first time more than 300 million euro in sales. The growth rate was 12.7% versus the first quarter and impressive 63.7% versus the second quarter of 2020. In the first half, sales rose to 607 million euro, which represents a growth rate of 41.4%. Page 11 shows the sales bridge from the second quarter of 2020 to the second quarter of 2021 and the sales bridge from the first quarter to the second quarter of this year. The before mentioned growth rate of 63.7% is the result of 63.5 million euro higher sales due to higher sales volume and 59.4 million euro price effects, as well as 2.3 million euro other effects. The volume effect is based on strong increases in corrugated board sales volume by 85,000 tons and an increase of the external containerboard sales volume of 44,000 tons. The price effect is based on approximately 20% higher average sales price for corrugated board and 46% higher sales prices for containerboard compared to the second quarter of 2020. Compared to the first quarter of 2021, sales increased by 12.7%. This growth is driven by a volume effect of minus 9.3 million euro and a price effect of plus 44.9 million euro. The volume effect includes the corrugated board sales volume decrease of 10,000 tons and the decrease of external containerboard sales volume by also 10,000 tons. The lower corrugated board sales is related to a lower number of working days, and the external sales volume of containerboard was limited by the produced quantities of containerboard and the strong internal demand. The price effect is the result of approximately 15% higher average corrugated board prices and 28% higher average containerboard prices. On the next page, you can see the quarterly EBITDA and EBITDA margin development. In the second quarter of 2021, we achieved an EBITDA of 63.9 million euro after 45.5 million euro EBITDA in the first quarter of 2021. The second quarter was characterized by the aforementioned sales growth and favorable market conditions. Sales prices for our main products increased further in the course of the second quarter. The upward trend of the recovered paper prices came to a stop in the middle of the second quarter. Therefore, the higher sales prices more than compensated the price increases of recovered paper and led to increase in gross margins. Contrary effects came from higher energy costs and further ramp-up costs of the PM3 paper machine. In total, however, EBITDA improved significantly both versus the first quarter of 2021 and the second quarter of 2020. The EBITDA margin followed that development with 19.9% in the second quarter. In the first half of 2021, we achieved an EBITDA of 109.5 million euro, 6.9% up from previous year's first half. The time lag in our price increasing mechanism impacted also the second quarter results. That means that the raw material price increases in the second quarter were not fully passed on to our customers by the end of the second quarter. On page 13, you can see the long-term EBITDA margin development on a quarterly basis. The average EBITDA margin of the past five years was 22.7%. After several quarters of declining or stable EBITDA margins, we achieved a turnaround in the margin development in the second quarter. The further price developments are supportive for future margin development. Despite our positive view on our earnings in the second half of 2021, we want to point out that the sales and raw material prices are now significantly above the average price levels of the past five years. Therefore, the EBITDA margin are subdued by the much higher sales price levels. The free cash flow development on page 14 shows a positive development in the second quarter of 2021 compared to the second quarter of 2020, from -76.5 million euro to +11.9 million euro. The operating cash flow in the second quarter was basically on the same level as the operating cash flow in the previous year's second quarter. The higher EBITDA and the lower cash outflows for tax payments in the second quarter of 2021 were compensated by a stronger increase of our trade working capital. The cash outflow from investing activities normalized after the completion of the PM3. Compared to the first quarter of 2021, the free cash flow rose by 23.7 million euro from -11.8 million euro to +11.9 million euro. The higher free cash flow is based on an increase in operating cash flow and lower cash outflows from investing activities. On page 15, you can see the EBITDA to free cash flow waterfall for the first half of 2021. We achieved an EBITDA of 109.5 million euro. The current provisions decreased by 18 million euro. The trade working capital increased significantly by 60.6 million euro. The cash flows from changes in other assets and liabilities were slightly negative with -0.6 million euro. We paid income taxes in an amount of 18.1 million euro, and the CapEx spending amounted to 47.5 million euro. As a result, the free cash flow for the first half of this year was close to zero. On page 16, we have the development of the net financial debt and net leverage of Pro-Group. In the second quarter of 2021, the net leverage decreased as expected to 4.4. We are now already well below the peak level of the first quarter of 2021 and slightly below the level at the end of 2020. The reason for the drop in net leverage is an improving last 12 months EBITDA and the declining net financial debt. As communicated before, we expect that we temporarily leave the net leverage target corridor. This development is directly linked to the CapEx spending for our value-accretive expansion projects. Now that the strategic expansion projects are ramping up, they are contributing to the intended deleveraging. We are fully committed to our long-term target corridor and we intend to return to this corridor in the short to mid-term. The next page gives a deeper view on the financial debt and financial costs and finance costs. Compared to the 31st December 2020, the financial gross debt increased basically due to the drawdown of 25 million euro for general corporate purposes and 30 million euro for growth projects, minus the scheduled repayment of the loans outstanding. The amount of undrawn committed bank facilities at the end of the second quarter of 2021 dropped by 55 million euro to 100 million euro. From this 100 million euro of undrawn facilities as at the end of the second quarter, 50 million euro had an availability period until the middle of the third quarter of 2021. Due to our comfortable liquidity position, we decided to not draw this amount. 91% of the financial liabilities as at 30th of June were denominated in euro, 8% in British pounds and 1% in Polish zloty. Approximately 85% of the financial debt has fixed interest rates and 15% is variable interest rates. The average interest rate in the first half of 2021 was 3% versus 3.1% for the first half of 2020. The drop of the average interest rate is based on lower commitment fees. On page 18, you can see the quarterly development of the working capital. As at the end of the second quarter of 2021, the working capital increased to 184 million euro. Compared to the end of the first quarter of 2021, this represents an increase of 36.5 million euro. The increase is based on higher inventories in an amount of 13.7 million euro, higher trade receivables of 28.6 million euro, and only 5.7 million euro higher trade payables. Compared to the end of the second quarter of 2020, working capital increased also by 46.5 million euro, which is basically related to the buildup of inventories at the new PM3 and the higher sales that led to higher trade receivables. The trade working capital as a percentage of sales increased to 70%, a figure at the upper end of our past four quarters. On page 20, we present now the summary and outlook. The volume development showed significant growth rates in the first half of 2021. We expect further strong demand in the third quarter and a continuing high capacity utilization of our plants. However, the already high sales figures in the second half of last year and the limitations from our production capacities will lead to lower growth rates in the second half of 2021. The third quarter sales volumes are further impacted by seasonally lower demand and lower available capacities due to summer holidays. The strong demand from container board and corrugated board will lead to further price increases in the third quarter. For the recovered paper prices, we expect a sideward movement in the third quarter for the bulk grades with some upward trend towards the end of the third quarter. Based on these expectations, we should be able to improve the margin in our business in the second half of the year. For the third quarter, however, you should be aware that we have the 6 weeks annual maintenance shutdown of the CHP and also a regular maintenance shutdown of the PM2. This will impact the Q3 EBITDA. The growth rate project PW14, which we resumed in the first quarter, is successfully ongoing. The project is within the time schedule. We recently started with the construction of the high bay warehouse and the basement work for the corrugator. We already initiated the next corrugated board project, PW15. PW15 will be a corrugated board plant in southwestern Germany, located next to a packaging park customer. We are currently in the planning phase and intend to start with the groundwork in the course of 2021. Regarding the corona pandemic, we continuously monitor and assess the situation. Fortunately, we have currently no major impact on our business. We would like to inform you that we are currently working on an SAP migration project to implement S4HANA in the company. The expected go-live is the 1st of January 2022. Due to our lean setup, we have only limited capacities in our finance department, and we expect that it will take longer to prepare the 2021 financial statements due to the simultaneous start update for the S4 system. For precautionary reasons, we would like to inform you that we will probably not publish a Q4 2021 condensed interim report. The financial statements 2021 will be published in the annual report in April 2022. With the new SAP system, our finance department will be well prepared for the future growth of our company. We are now at the end of our presentation. If you have any question on the performance presentation, I would be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Volker. To ask any questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you do change your mind, you can press star followed by two. And if you have joined us online, please use the flag icon. Our first question comes from Cole Hathorn of Jefferies. Cole, your line is now open.
Good afternoon, Volker. Thank you very much for taking my question. I'd just like to get some more color around the industry demand that you're seeing at the moment. Can you just confirm that, you know, 3Q is a little bit seasonally slower, but, you know, going into the fourth quarter, that's your seasonally strongest period. And if I read the industry trade press, you know, containerboard issues are, well, availability of containerboard is very tight. And I'm just wondering how ProGroup is managing your containerboard situation and how you're prepared for the stronger fourth quarter, as well as how do you think the industry will fare, is the first question. And then the second question, I'd just like to hear if you can call out any segments that are particularly strong from a demand perspective. You talked about e-commerce pulling through demand, but anything else that you're seeing from your box customers? Thank you.
Yes, I mean, I can also confirm that the demand is still very strong. I mean, the third quarter is typically has slightly lower demand due to the summer holiday period. This was also the case this year. But the first signs, we are now at the end of August, the first signs we have in order intake also are positive regarding the restart of the ramping up of demand towards the end of summer. So if this early trend will continue, as everyone expects, and also we do for the remainder of the year, there will be, again, a very strong fourth quarter and remainder of the third quarter. So this, we don't see that there will be a major drop. So as you said, the fourth quarter is typically the strongest quarter of the year. It will be really a challenge to supply all customers' requests, and this is a real issue we are facing already in the first half of the year, that customers would like to purchase more than we could supply due to the capacity limits. This is true for our corrugated board operations, but also for the container board side. So as you just mentioned, the availability of container board is really an issue. We are really happy that the PM3 ramped up last year. Yesterday we had the first birthday, so the first time we produced container board was 26th of August 2020. So after 1 year, we are really happy to have this machine in our portfolio. So our own supply is well secured, but also the stock level is below what we would like to have at this time of the year. So there will be a tough supply situation towards November and December. But nevertheless, we have still enough capacity to supply our own operations and also the external customers, which we supply at the moment. But as our integration level indicates, we did not drop significantly from last year, which would be the first expectation if we add such a huge capacity to our portfolio, but this is not the case because of the strong demand from our own corrugated board operations. So So regarding the source and what type of industries the demand comes from, I mean, it's of course the, as far as we know, because we are not supplying directly to the box manufacturing, to the end application, but to the box manufacturing from customers in the packaging industry. But there is a broad demand from all types of packaging applications. So it's more or less mirroring the general economic situation, strong growth rate in most types of business. So this is has a very positive impact also on the demand for corrugated packaging. So it's a very broad-driven demand from our perspective.
Thank you. If you allow me a follow-up on pricing, and you've called out that we've seen further containerboard or paper price increases in the third quarter, and you talked about getting corrugated board price increases in the third quarter as well to pass that through. You know, how challenging is it now pushing through the corrugated board price increases? I imagine, given the strong demand, you're able to push those through. But I'm just wondering how your box customers are accepting those price increases at the moment in the third quarter.
I mean, it is like the last, I also answered this similar question in the last call. In the past, of course, there was a lot of pushback if you are the first mover in increasing prices, but currently they have so many price increases in a row, of course, they are not really happy with that, but there is very limited other opportunities to purchase the corrugated sheet elsewhere at a cheaper price. So, of course, it's just the typical mechanism. We have to pass the higher raw material costs on to our customers, and they will finally accept it. So it came more or less to a normal situation that we have to increase the prices, of course. That we get the feedback that we have done this with a very, typical German, very strong movement in the last month. But, I mean, we had a situation at the beginning of the year with very low margin, and we had to just pass it on. So it's not a question of not to do it. Maybe we can discuss about timing that we can make it 1 or 2 weeks later. But at the end of the day, they are accepting the higher prices. And we think if there's another price increase now in September in container board, that we are transferring this to our customers with 1 or 2 months time delay as usual. And as long as the demand remains strong, there are limited discussions on that.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for your question. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We have a question registered from Salik Ishtiak of Citi. Salik, please proceed with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you very much for taking my questions. I have two. The first one is with regards to your 600 million bonds, the 3% coupon ones maturing in 2026. Obviously, the high yield market has been quite active, and given what the concern around rates increasing next year might be, have you thought about potentially calling those bonds early to try to get a lower coupon and pushing out your debt maturity, or how are you thinking about your capital structure at the moment? That's my first question.
I mean, of course, we evaluate options like this you just mentioned regularly. But there is no, from our side, no immediate short-term plan to do so. Of course, we will do this on a regular basis. On the other side, of course, there is discussion about rate increases in the market, but as far as we interpret the ECB, there might be that the one of the latest big central banks to make such a movement. I don't think that this is an immediate threat of significantly higher rates. So it's There will be an issue in the midterm, but I don't think that this will happen very, very quickly.
Understood. And then just my second question is, you know, with the PM3 facility now operating and, you know, presumably ramping up by the end of this year, your net leverage target has been to get back to 2.5-3 times. I was curious, with the additional capacity from the PM3 facility, do you think that in the medium term there's actually a possibility for you to go even below that and try to target a investment grade rating, or do you feel kind of the use of cash would be better used elsewhere if you kept your net leverage at 2.5-3 times?
We are comfortable with this net leverage corridor of 2.5-3, and we have also many ideas to for further growth in our business. So the expectation is rather to stay in this corridor, and as long as we have projects in our mind which would increase the value of our company. And looking in the midterm future, we have many of these ideas and then see further positive growth projects in our midterm strategic map. So for the next year, we would be rather targeting this mentioned net leverage corridor.
And if I could just follow up there, I mean, when we think about kind of the growth opportunities that you've identified, should we consider this in just kind of increasing volume capacity, or will you try to add another dimension to the business through kind of another product? How do you kind of think about the growth opportunities in general without, you know, maybe getting into too many specifics?
I mean, we have been very successful to focus on these areas where we operate, basically the sale of corrugated sheets and then backward integration to container board. And within this field, we are actually operating, and this is also the goal to stay in this business where we are very successful. And we see further growth opportunities also in this area. That means both in this type of business, but also within the same, or basically the similar region where we operate. So there are no transforming steps within our mind to leave Europe or something like this. So the mid-term growth will be in the same region and also in the same type of business.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your question. For any last questions, please press star one. We have a question from Cole Hathorn of Jefferies. Cole, please go ahead.
Volker, if you allow me a follow-up. I mean,
sure.
You've done very well over the years building your own container board, making sure it's low cost, building your project and your operating model. If I compare your EBITDA margins to the rest of the industry, you know, they're very appealing. And what I'd like to understand is, what are your medium-term thoughts? You've kind of reinitiated your Poland project. You're talking about PW15 here to support further growth. But how do you think about corrugated sheet and box demand growth for the next number of years? Because some of your CEO and CFO peers are talking about potentially higher box demand into the future versus history, supported by structural elements like e-commerce and sustainability tailwinds, kind of the plastic to paper shift. Are you seeing any of that? I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you see that demand profile in the future.
I mean, historically, demand for corrugated packaging has been basically in line with GDP growth. And in Western Europe and slightly above that, basically in Eastern Europe, the regions where we basically operate. And we expect that this trend generally will be continue over the next 5 to 10 years with slightly positive effects from the mentioned issues like e-commerce and also substitution from other type of packaging through corrugated packaging. So we are positive for the future and see also growth rates maybe in amount on average close to 3% in our market area, depending on the year, slightly below that, closer to maybe 2% in Western Europe and maybe 3.5% or so in Eastern Europe, but basically positive for the entire industry. What we further see is that the trend that the sub-market of the corrugated packaging, the sheet business, has been growing stronger in the past. So the share of the sheet business has been growing over the past 15 to 20 years. And we see also that this trend could continue. And of course, we are one driver of this trend as well, because our ambition is always to exceed the market growth. So historically, we have achieved growth rates closer to 9 or 10% per year, even in times where the market was very weak. And it's also ambition to at least be in the high one-digit percentage point growth, say close to 7 to 9% per year. So we are positive for the industry, but we are especially positive for our sub-market segment that we can achieve very attractive growth rates. So what we see the market in the midterm, mid to long term.
Thank you.
Mike Dolan from Fidelity has registered a question. Mike, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I have three questions, actually. So firstly, you mentioned the turnarounds plan for Q3. Can you just give us a sense of what the EBITDA is? Secondly, you mentioned, I think you said you've approved PM15. Maybe you can just talk us through what that does for sort of integration levels and also CapEx associated with that project. And then I didn't catch your prepared comments or all of your prepared comments on liquidity. Can you just run through those again? I think you said something about a portion of your bank facilities expiring in the short term. So just wondering, you know, what level of liquidity you will have post that and, you know, how much headroom you think you actually need.
Yeah, well, let's start with the third question on liquidity. I mean, at the end of the second quarter, we had 100 million of undrawn facilities. 50 million is the RCF, and 50 million were a portion of a 100 million facilities we entered into last year. This 100 million facility we entered in relation to the, or based on the unknown effect of the corona pandemic. So this was more or less a reaction to the unknown situation to be prepared for whatever could happen. If we look back now, we are one year later, we probably wouldn't have needed to make this step. So we decided to not draw the second half of this facility. This means that the available facilities at the moment are the 50 million RCF, and we have drawn 50 million out of this 100 million facility. So we have a very high cash position, much higher than we actually need to run the business. We could run our business with, say, 20-25 million euro in cash on hand. So the current position is much higher than that, and therefore we decided to not use the second half of this facility. Regarding PW15, this is very, very early stage of the project. We are in the planning phase and we'll start with the groundwork in the course of this year. The CapEx spending for this project will be around 100 million euro. It will be a 335 might wide corrugator in a location close to our headquarters, about 50 kilometers away from here, next to one of our largest customers. It will be a packaging park model, and it will. The plan is to ramp this corrugator up in 2023. So the first impact on EBITDA, or significant impact on EBITDA, will be in 2024. So it will, as usual, we are with our greenfield projects, we are first investing, and then the return comes with the time lag after the machine is ramping up. But it's also in this region, we have no capacity available for further growth. This customer has strong growth rates, and so we are very positive for this project and the future development. And regarding the third question, if I understood it right, you asked about the impact of the. It was the shutdown of the CHP on the third quarter EBITDA, or did I got it wrong?
I'm just trying to understand what the lost EBITDA will be from the turnarounds that you discussed.
Yeah, I mean, it's typically 10 to 12 million euro impact from the shutdown of the 6 week shutdown. So the full maintenance for 1 year done within the 6 weeks. So it's consists of additional maintenance costs, but also loss of revenue in the 6 week period. But it's in this area of 10 to 12 million euro.
Okay, thank you. And then just following up on that PW15 comment. So how should we think about run rate capex then for, you know, 2022 and beyond? It sounds like it's going to be edging up again.
I mean, we are still in the process to build the budget for 2022, but it will be a little bit higher than what we have in 2021. From the current perspective, well, as I just said, it's not finalized yet, but it will be more between 150 to 170 million euro for next year, but below the capex spending we have seen 2019 or 20.
Thank you, that's very helpful.
For any final questions, please press star one. Okay, as there are no further questions, I'm going to hand back to Volker Metz.
Thank you, Melissa. So this concludes also our call this afternoon. Thank you very much for the attendance, and I'm looking forward to have you on our Q3 investor call towards the end of November then. Stay safe and have also a nice weekend later on. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.